Welcome into the latest installment of the Golf Channel podcast presented by Top Golf. I'm your host, Will Gray. Pleased to be joined today by Tad Fujikawa, once a teenage phenom, once the youngest player ever to make a U.S. Open, but more in the news in recent weeks, Tad, because you've become the most prominent male golfer to come out as gay. So I appreciate you taking the time, first of all. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So as we said, it was a monumental announcement that you made on Instagram last month, and I want to start there. Just first of all, it's been a few weeks since you came out, and I want to know, what's the reception been like for you, and how did it kind of match up with your expectations?
Before doing so, I thought that there would be a lot of support from my family, you know, my close friends, the people that follow me on social media. But I didn't think it would have gotten the kind of media attention that it did. Obviously, in this day and age, it's not really that big of a deal. It's not uncommon for athletes or, for people to come out this way. But, I've been very, very thankful and very grateful for the outreach of support, the encouragement, and, acceptance from everyone around me. It's been really cool and really special for me.
Well, it's certainly an intensely personal decision and choice to come out in the manner that you did. What led you to make that sort of public statement as you did on your Instagram account?
I did it. I came out to my mom a few years ago, and then all my friends knew. I told all my close friends, but I hadn't told the rest of my family, and until recently. And after I told them, my grandmother, my father, and my other my grandfather as well. After I told them, I kind of didn't really care what other people thought of me at that point. As far as acceptance, I didn't need anyone else's acceptance. But the reason why I came out on social media was just help other people. In my own experiences, I've been through a lot of tough times with my sexuality and struggling with that, and openly talking about it. And other stories, other athletes, other celebrities, my friends, just seeing other people come out gave me a lot of hope in times where I didn't feel like there were a lot of hope. And for me personally, it was something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and it's something I'm very passionate about. I really want to help other people who are struggling with a similar issue. And if I can just change lives, that's really my goal.
Well, you mentioned trying to cope through struggles of your own, and you're certainly dealing head on with some issues that a lot of people struggle to address, and certainly a lot of people don't address them as publicly as you have. Was there a tipping point in recent weeks or recent months where you kind of thought to yourself, okay, I feel ready, I feel prepared to kind of take this next step, and as you said, in the hopes of potentially helping others down the road?
I've been thinking about it since probably like the beginning of this year. I kind of felt like that's been my calling, and just to help people and to bring more awareness to mental health, regardless of what it is. And that's kind of, that's been my dream, and my passion has kind of changed a little bit in that sense. But yeah, that's kind of, since the beginning of this year is when I really started changing my vision towards that.
It's interesting. You consider this a calling of yours. That's a great way, I think, to kind of deal with a situation that sometimes, as I'm sure you're quite aware, it can bring animosity. It can bring reactions from both sides of it. But that's a way, I suppose, that you've been able to kind of take the take the situation head on and deal with it in the way that you have, correct?
Yeah, I struggled a lot with my golf game since 2011 to 2016. And, mentally I wasn't in a very good place for a long time. And I felt like when I lost my golf game, I didn't have anything else to live for. And that was something that I really struggled with, with mentally and, my depression and anxiety that came with that. But that's where I found my purpose, and not, I guess when I was going through that, not having a purpose was something that really bothered me. And, outside of golf, what can I do with my life? And when I found that and realized that, that gave me a whole new perspective on things, and something to look forward to.
I think a lot of people, when they see your name or they read a headline that includes your name right now, they think back to, 10 or 11 years ago. You're 15 years old, you're playing in the 2006 U.S. Open, you're 16, you're making the cut on the PGA Tour at the Sony Open. Was there a point where some of that early success led you to put too much importance on golf as it related to your personal self-worth? Were those two enmeshed at that point in your life?
I don't know if it was directly related to that. I've always kind of been, my personality has always been, you kind of go like all or nothing. And I think my vision was so focused on golf, and I didn't have really anything else to, I guess, as a driving force for my life. But I don't know if, I think that definitely has impact on it, but I don't know if that was really all of it or not.
When you look back on those memories, specifically winged foot and making that putt on 18 at Wailea to make the cut there, what are some of the moments that stand out from you for those couple of weeks? And certainly, you're 27 now. You're at a very different part of your life than you were at 15 or 16. But I got to think that's interesting to walk back down memory lane and think back to some of the thoughts that were going through your mind and some of the shots that you hit during those weeks.
I can't even remember what was going through my mind. it was obviously it was a long time ago, but I was just enjoying the moment and being real present. And I think there's something to that, and I think that's something I'm trying to get back to, just being more present and really appreciating every moment of my life, regardless of what it is. It was such a great experience to have those things, be in that position, and to have the opportunities that I did. Very, very grateful for that.
Well, you mentioned that you had some on-course struggles in the years that followed. So I want to know, what's the state of the game with you and your relationship with golf and professional golf? Where do you stand right now at age 27?
I'm still at it. I feel like I'm moving in the right direction. There's still some things that I need to kind of, work on and improve upon. But I feel like I can improve upon it. So that's why I'm still working at it. I feel like I'm starting to enjoy the game more. I'm enjoying being out there again and being in competition. And for a long time, I didn't enjoy it at all. I was going through the motions, but I think having this newfound purpose and passion in my life is really helping me. It gives me, it's always a reminder of why I'm doing this and why I play golf, really what I'm living for. So in that sense, I'm very encouraged. Unfortunately, I didn't make it to pre school this year, but everything happens for a reason. I'm just going to keep at it. And that's basically what I'm going to do. So we'll see where that takes.
I was going to say, a lot of people find that when they find balance off the course, they find success on the course. Do you feel like hopefully this is something that could lead to, you know, positives on both sides of the ropes for you, and that you, if you're a little more content overall in your life and you've got this purpose and this calling that you've now found, that it might lead to a few more birdies down the road in 2019 and beyond?
Man, I really hope so. Like I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I feel encouraged about what I'm doing, and I know in my heart this is what I want to do. Whether I do it or not, I don't know. But man, it's been a real blessing to have this opportunity, and I'm looking forward to what it can bring.
You've been very candid about the battles you've had with anxiety and depression, and you mentioned, you know, a couple years ago when your game kind of left you. Was there a point at that stage where you thought about giving up golf and moving in a different direction?
Many, many times. Too many times to count, actually. but my mom was with me, and she helped me a lot, and I had a good team around. Good friends here, Hank and Bond Smith, and they really, really helped me through all my struggles, and there was no hope to be seen. They somehow kept me going, and I'm forever grateful for that. And, but yeah, there were a lot of times where I didn't want to do it anymore. I know that if my mom wasn't here and I didn't have, you know, my friends, family supporting me, there's no doubt that I would quit.
That's powerful stuff. Now, you said that it's not all about golf for you right now, so I don't want this to be all about golf either. Walk me through a week in the life of Tad Fujikawa. What are some of the off-course interests? What do you like to do with your free time and things like that?
Well, where I live, there's not really much to do, except for golf. There's no
St. Simon's Island, right? You're throwing a stick and you're hitting a PGA Tour pro these days.
Yeah, that's right. It's it's pretty golfed out over here. But I enjoy playing tennis. I play a lot of tennis. I kind of got into that in the last few years. But most of the time when I'm not golfing, I'm just trying to relax and just kind of unwind a bit. And every day is a golf day, so it's kind of it can get tiring. But I enjoy playing tennis and just kind of hanging out. And hopefully I can have a little more fun off the course as well soon. But we'll see.
What was that adjustment like for you growing up in Hawaii, and certainly a place that people in the continental 48 just kind of look as almost like a foreign country, and now all of a sudden you're coming over here to the East Coast, to Southeast Georgia, you're living in an SEC football country. What was that adjustment like for you?
It was crazy, with the football and stuff especially. I mean, there's like Georgia, Florida weekend. We came here one year.
No. Hold on, Tad. I'm a Florida guy, so it's a Florida Georgia weekend. It's Florida Georgia. Go ahead.
I totally apologize.
That's all right.
But I came here one year, and it was like I had no idea what the heck was going on, and the whole I guess everyone comes to St. Simon's for that weekend, and it was crazy, and I had no idea what was going on, and so apparently football is a big thing here, but it was. Actually, a pretty easy transition. I mean, the people have been very nice. I like living here. It's pretty quiet. And, I think going from one island to another really kind of helped me in that. The lifestyle is pretty laid back. And, but I enjoy it here. It's good. It's a good spot. I made some good friends.
You went through a lot of land in between to get from one island to the other. There's probably a quicker way. If you want to island hop, there might have been a faster route than going from Hawaii to St. Simon's. But that's all right. You're there, and that's good that you found a good spot to land.
Yeah, that's right. I chose a pretty pretty difficult path, but I'm here.
There you go. I find it interesting that you made your announcement on Instagram. I think that, you know, in 2018, a lot of people see the vicious side of social media and Twitter and things like that. It can get a little bit toxic at times if you step in the wrong corners of the Twitter sphere. But what was it for you? Do you feel like it's a powerful medium and you get some positivity out of using Instagram the way that you do?
You know, social media can be looked upon in both ways. It can definitely be a negative thing. I believe that it is a lot of causes for, you know, the depression and stuff that people struggle with nowadays. Just you're constantly comparing yourself to something that's not even real, you know. And you know, in that sense, it could be looked upon as a negative source of energy, I guess. But for me, I try to turn it into something positive. In this society that we live in, you know, as much as it can be negative, you can turn that same thing into something positive. And that's really what I'm trying to do. And I mean, for me personally, I use social media when I was struggling. I used it to see other people and to see their stories. And, you know, so I try to look at it in that sense. What can I do to spread more love, encouragement, and empower other people to be better, you know, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do.
I think that if a lot of people embrace that mentality, we'd be in a little better place in social media. But that's a podcast for another day. We'll leave that there. Now, you mentioned there are plenty of athletes in other sports who have come out as gay, but you're the first male professional golfer to come out. There have been women on the LPGA that have as well. But what is it, I guess, is there an element about the game of golf that made it at all difficult for you growing up and being a teenager and a young adult and transitioning into this life that you're in, that golf maybe hindered your ability to become who you truly became?
I don't know if it's golf itself. I think it's just the society we live in. You know, obviously I was in the media at a pretty young age and in the spotlight for a while there. And, you know, I guess I was afraid, you know, it's pretty normal to just be afraid of what other people would think and what they would say, that sort of thing. And then plus I didn't know how my family would react. So I think it was a combination of a lot of things. Golf itself is not a very progressive sport, I guess, in that sense. You know, it's predominantly white, rich, male, you know, country club sort of thing. And, you know, it's gotten better over the past few years and over the past 10 or 20 years, definitely improved in that sense. But, but yeah, I mean, it's great to see, you know, other LGBTQ golfers coming out, whether they're male or female, it doesn't matter, but just sharing their story and bringing more awareness to that is definitely helpful for the generations to come.
Do you hope to become an agent of change with this? I mean, like you said, that golf is not exactly progressive in a lot of different areas, including this one, but this, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, we could look back at this post you put on Instagram as something that potentially opened the floodgates and made it easier and made it a more receptive community for other people to follow in your footsteps.
I hope so. I mean, I just want to let people know that they're enough and they're good exactly as they are. You know, they don't have to change who they are to fit society's mold, you know, and especially in the golf world where it's so, it's not something that's very common, you know. And, but I don't know. I mean, I hope to just bring more awareness to this, whether it's through golf or not. Just life in general, you know, if I can make a difference, that's all that matters.
We've certainly, you know, taken a first step in that direction. I know this was about you and about coming to terms with with who you are, and as you said, finding a sense of liberation and not caring about what other people think anymore. But I do think that there's a chance that you could become someone that we look back at 10, 15 years from now, and you're a guy that started a trend in a very positive direction. So kudos to you for that.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate those words, and I'm glad I'm able to share my story.
And if you want to go, it's a Florida Georgia weekend. It's coming up next week. It's going to be a big game. You let me know. You just got to make sure you're wearing the right colors. We'll get you off that island.
Okay. All right. I think I'll have to go incognito for a little while. Everyone around here is going to be hating on me.
Oh, there you go. That's all right. It's a welcoming spot. I'm sure if you can wear some neutral colors and you'll be all right. So.
Yeah. That's for sure.
All right. Well, Tad Fujikawa, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Golf Channel podcast presented by Top Golf. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your story and some of the after effects that you've been able to experience in the recent weeks.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. This, again, has been the Golf Channel podcast presented by Top Golf. I'm your host, Will Gray. Remember, you can log on to golfchannel.com/podcast, download previous episodes. You can subscribe on Art19, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Search keyword Golf Channel and we will be there. Thanks again to Tad Fujikawa for taking time to be the guest on today's episode. I'm Will Gray. We'll see you next time.